through 23. I thought of about a lot of things, what I could preach on, but since we're in Romans 14, I thought I'd keep going. So here's where we are. Romans chapter 14, verses 13 through 23. And I do have a title again. I probably won't put it on there, but because I stole the title from somebody or borrowed it. The title is Rights Made Wrong. Rights Made Wrong. How our rights and our freedom can be made wrong. That's kind of a pun, but rights made wrong. In Romans 14, we're looking at, in just a very quick review, the issues are, there were three issues, whether people eat meat or eat vegetables only. I mean, there was a struggle over, was the meat offered to idols, and, well, should we just eat vegetables? Another issue was whether you drink wine or not drink wine. Was the wine used in a sacrifice or a ritual to a pagan god, so we shouldn't drink it? I don't think it was so much the problem of alcohol as it was it used in a pagan worship? And the third issue was the Sabbath. Do we now worship on the first day of the week or the second day of the week? What's just out of the, if you, you got to answer this question in your mind quickly. What's the first day of the week? Sunday, yeah. I always looked at it, and Diane corrected me. I said, well, Monday is. Because I'm thinking work, you know, Monday's the first day of the week. Well, she said, look at a calendar. You know, I mean, it's like, so I did. I mean, Sunday's the first day of the week. So, believe it or not, that kind of changed my perspective. We start our week here. You know, we start with the building up of each other and start our week here. Do some churches worship on Saturday? Yeah, I tried it. I had trouble with worship, going to church on Saturday night. I don't know why. It just probably tradition. But I mean, that's where those were the issues the early church was dealing with. Paul also reminded, and I think we talked about this, these are secondary issues. You know, the problem is these secondary issues a lot of times rise to the surface and become major problems, okay? But those were the three issues, food, wine, and the Sabbath. And they were really kind of a religious thing. This wasn't like, well, you don't eat meat because it has high cholesterol, or you don't, you know, you could use cigarettes. I don't know. Did they smoke in those days? I don't know. I don't know when smoking was. But it's not like, you know, when I was growing up in the early 60s, early 50s, smoking was not a big deal. Everybody did it. It was on TV and was like, you know, now we know that there's a health issue. But these issues that Paul is talking about were really religious issues. They were afraid to eat certain meat because it might have been sacrificed to idols. There were two groups that Paul talked about, the strong in faith and the weak in faith. And I'm going to describe that in a little bit. There were two groups, strong and weak. They were maybe even, you could break it down in the Gentiles and Jews. The Jews were more strict. They had grown up with not eating certain foods. If you read the book of Leviticus, you'll realize we got it made. You know, they had to, I mean, everything was regulated in their life. What they could eat, when they could eat, what they could eat off of. Their sex life was regulated. I mean, every aspect of their life was restricted. And they looked at all of that was on how they lived their life before God. And all of a sudden, you know, these Gentiles come in and they're like, whoa, cool, we have freedom and our sins are paid for. And you know, I'm on my way to heaven. We can eat, drink, whatever. You know, we're free. All of a sudden, you get these two groups and they're like, yikes, you know, how are these two groups going to relate to each other? Paul gives us several principles. One is, you know, if you have freedom, don't look with contempt on those that don't. If somebody has a stricter conscience than you, don't look down on him and think, oh, if you only knew how free you were. Don't do that. And if you are a little more strict and you can't, you know, you feel like me, well, I got to worship on Sunday, you know, I shouldn't judge Lake Point because they're worshiping on Saturday. you know, oh, well, they're big, and, you know, just because it's easier now for people not to wake up on Sunday morning, and, you know, I ought not do that. I oughtn't judge another church because they're worshiping on Saturday. Okay? Don't look down on people if they have more freedom than you. Don't judge somebody if they have less, okay, or vice versa. The third was, we live our life before God and just give thanks to Him. If you eat meat, give thanks to God. If you don't eat meat, give thanks to God. Okay? And live your life before Him, because it's before Him that I will give an account, not you. You know, when I die and go to heaven, you're not going to go with me and say, you know, well, Bob, you're not going to be there. Okay? It's going to be me and Him. And I give an account to Him, not so much to you. Now, I know there's accountability here. I understand that, and I, you know, and I respect that. But the principle is, Paul is saying this is an internal issue, and you need to live your life before God and be convinced of your stance. And then in verses 13 through 23, he's going to begin to focus on one of those groups, and he's going to focus on the strong in faith. Let me read those. There's 10 verses. And read along with me, and then I'll try to explain them. Romans chapter 14, verse 13. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, or judge this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. I know and am convinced in Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but to him who thinks anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. For if because of food your brother is hurt, you are no longer walking according to love. Do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who is in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then, let us pursue the things that make for peace and the building up of one another. Do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. All things are indeed clean, but they are evil for the man who eats and gives offense. It is good not to eat meat or to drink wine or to do anything by which your brother stumbles. The faith which you have as your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and whatever is not from faith is sin. So there's a try to run through these principles kind of quick and then kind of give you some examples of and how I think we could take this to extremes one way or the other, okay? The first principle, when he's focusing on the strong in faith, is just stop judging each other. He just talked about the judgment seat of Christ, and it's not that we don't, you know, I mean, people will pull this verse out and say, oh, Christians judge everybody, and don't let them take this verse out of context. When anybody points to this and says, see, you're not supposed to judge anybody, make sure they understand it's about eating meat and vegetables. Or, you know, don't let them say, because you got to make judgments. I mean, we have to, like, you know, at Virginia Tech, they had to make a judgment about that guy, you know, and go after him. You know, so there's, don't let them pull this out of context. Paul says, don't judge each other, but rather judge this. I'm not going to put something in your way that's going to make you fall. Okay? And it's like, I'm not going to do something that's going to make you trip up. Okay? If I'm strong in faith, I ought to think about what I do that could make you trip up. Okay? It could be, and I think sometimes we can, I might jump ahead of myself here, take this to an extreme on, you know, well, Bob, I don't like blue plaid shirts, so you better not wear a blue this is kind of plaid, right? Okay. You know, I can't, like, let's not take this to extremes. Or, you know, Green, oh man, it's my least favorite color. It's not talking about that. It's talking about something that will cause another brother to sin, that would violate his own conscience. Okay, this isn't like your flavor of music, you know. I don't think singing praise songs is going to cause somebody to sin. I don't think, you know, or it's not going to hurt the younger generation to sing a hymn. They're not going to go out and say, oh, gee, I'm going to go sin because we, you know what I mean? It makes no sense. These are issues that I would put in front of someone that would cause him to sin. I need to think about what I do. It's almost like it's almost situational ethics. There are certain things you shouldn't do in certain times. Okay? We need to learn to restrict our freedom. Okay? If I know somebody is around that I may cause trouble, I need to be careful. I have two, hopefully they won't ever listen to this sermon. I have two brother-in-laws that are both alcoholics. Bad alcoholics. I mean, I can remember when I was a kid my parents calling me up and saying, you better get home. We may have to go get your sister. You know, this is bad. I have seen bad stuff happen with alcohol. And what if I had the freedom to have a drink and I was at my brother-in-law's house, who was an alcoholic? What do I do? What should you do? I determined, and I asked him this. I said, if I have a drink in front of you, will that cause you to want one? And he had been in it long enough to where he went through AA. I mean, whatever you think of AA, it got my brother-in-law off alcohol. He said, I have to determine in my own mind what I'm going to do and not worry about you. But I determined at that point never to have a drink in front of him. I don't care what would happen. I determined not to have a drink in front of him. That's what I think he's talking about here. Don't do something that may cause another brother to stumble. Because if he had a drink, it could be all over. So that's what he's talking about. In verse 13, he says, just don't judge. I shouldn't say to my brother-in-law, oh man, you're free in Christ. You can have a drink now. Don't listen to AA that says if you have one, you're going to go. That would be really stupid. That's kind of a translation of what Paul said. Determine this. I mean, I got to say to him, or to myself, not go up to him and say, well, I'm not going to have a drink in front of you because I'm the stronger brother. You know, you don't do that. You just say, okay, Lord, before you, I'm going to restrict my freedom for my brother's sake. The second thing Paul talks about in verse 14 is, and this is interesting that he says this. He said, I know and am convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but to him who thinks anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Point two would be, nothing's unclean unless you think it is. Paul says nothing's unclean. We can look these up maybe when you go home. I was going to read them. In Mark 7, verse 15, Jesus is talking about this. What I have made clean, don't make unclean. When Jesus paid the penalty for our sin at the cross, all of the book of Leviticus was fulfilled. It's okay now to eat pork. You know, I'm not fond of certain meats. Joshua, like every Christmas, Diane buys him weird meat. It's the most bizarre thing. We get this little box, and it'll be snake, rattlesnake, and, you know, weird, like chocolate-covered ants or just weird things. And I'm like, I'm not eating that, you know. But What was the point? Oh, the point is nothing's unclean. I mean, Joshua is into, like, if he's almost wanting to get lost in the woods so he can eat grubs or something. You know, I mean, it's nothing's unclean. You can eat anything. Paul says that. Nothing is unclean in itself. Unless you think it is. If your conscience says, if I eat this, it's going to make me unclean. That was what the Jews were thinking. If they ate pork, they would be unclean. And you know what? They couldn't worship God then. They couldn't go into the worship service. If you read Leviticus, there was lots of things that made you unclean that kept you out of a worship service. You know, today, I bet you not one person walked through that door thinking, I had a pork sandwich last night, so I can't come in this door. Did anybody think that? No. But somebody might have come in here thinking, you know, I thought something or I said something to somebody. I guess it's hard for me to think like that because, I understand that I've been made whole. Even when I need to come here on Sunday, like when Jesus did the foot washing in the upper room and he started washing Peter's feet. He says, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus said, well, you don't need all of your wash. You just need your feet washed because you've been dirty. Your feet got dirty through the week. That's why I come here. My feet got dirty this week. You know, the world just kind of gets you down, and I need to come in here and have my feet washed. But in those days, Jews felt, man, it made me unclean, and would have trouble coming into a worship service. The very thing they needed, they would have trouble getting because they felt it made them unclean. So the second principle that Paul says is, understand, nothing is unclean. Nothing that you put in your body violates or changes your relationship to God. Okay? Those of us that might have smoked, having a cigarette now would be dumb for me, I guess. But I'll tell you, there are still times when I smell... How many of you have ever smoked? I still sometimes, when I smell a cigarette, want one. Believe it or not, I know most of you think cigarettes are disgusting, but for right now, that would be very bad for me. You know, that would probably... Anyway, that's another whole story. I'm getting off the track. The first point is, don't judge each other, just judge this. Don't put a stumbling block in front of your brother. The second principle is, nothing's unclean unless you think it is. The third thing is, don't destroy a brother over your food. When I looked at my brother-in-law, I better be careful not to destroy him because I wanted a stupid beer. Think about that. When you weigh those two things, causing somebody to stumble or a hamburger. I mean, if you weigh those out, you would go, there is no question. Okay, I'll give up a burger if it causes this guy to stumble. When we look at these, let me read verse 15. For if because of food your brother is hurt, you are no longer walking according to love. Do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. He, our brother, your weaker brother, is way more important than your desire for a burger or a glass of wine or whether you worship on Saturday or Sunday. Come on. You know, your brother is way more important because that's who Christ died for. Okay? I'm going to try this. And this is not this isn't like rocket science, but I worked in a yard. and I'm so sore. And I'm old, that's why you grunt when you stand up. I mean, this is going to happen, so don't worry about it. I started to think through this whole stronger and weaker brother, okay? And to me, there's like, there's two categories in each one of these groups, okay? And I think we need to think through this because otherwise, you know, if somebody really didn't like blue plaid shirts and I, you know, I'd have to be wearing something that, you know, I'd have to call everybody in the morning and say, what would you like me to wear so I don't offend somebody, okay? In a stronger brother, there's people, I think there's guys that abuse freedom. You know, they're like, they don't care what anybody else thinks. I am now free in Christ. I can do whatever I want, and you're not going to tell me to do, you know, anything. I'm going to, you know, my rights are my rights, and I don't care what you think. Okay? And these are kind of, they're starting to focus on all this external stuff. However you spell external. They're like worried about, or not worried about it, but it's all me and what I do and my freedom. And I'm, you know, I like going out on whatever. I mean, you know people that are like that have just taken advantage of their freedom and don't care about anybody else. Okay? They're believers. I think that, you know, they're just not wise, I think. Then there's the other kind of strong believers are those that use their freedom instead of abuse it. They use their freedom to attract other people. They don't say, you know, I'm free in Christ and can do whatever I want. Diane's mom used to say this all the time. If I'm going to give you the freedom to drink, you better give me the freedom not to. You better. And I'm telling you, kids, when you go off to college, I said I'd never call you kids, but that's okay. When you go off to college, there is a whole different. I don't know if it's every, maybe not the same on Christian colleges, but if you go to a state university, and I don't, Commerce might not be like this, but the tendency is college kids drink. You know, I joined a fraternity. I had no idea what a fraternity was. Well, you learn very fast what a fraternity is. And it's like you don't even have the freedom not to drink. They would not give you that freedom. And what I think as strong believers that use their freedom, we need to say to people, you are, if I'm giving you the freedom to drink, you got to give me the freedom not to. If you get friends, if they're believers that may have more freedom to you than you do, you need to say to them, you know, I'm not condemning you. Just give me the freedom not to. You know, they need to give you the freedom not to do things to. Okay? So those are, to me, are the two kinds of sets of strong brothers. In weaker ones, there's, I got to remember what I said, kind of the, they have a real strict conscience, okay? Maybe they'd be looked at as fairly legalistic, okay? I don't know if that's a good term or bad term. Legalists sometimes are portrayed as people that think you got to do this to get to heaven. No, they're probably not like that. They're thinking, though, man, there's a bunch of, you know, I got a list. And these are the people that have the list of, you know, no drinking, dancing, smoking, chewing, whatever the current list is. So they kind of have this strict conscience, and they're kind of focused on the externals also. Kind of like, I'm going to have this freedom. And, so there's a group of, like, weak believers that are very, very strict in what they feel and would do or not do. Then I think these guys have a strict conscience. These guys, the other group, have a tender conscience. I would put maybe my brother-in-law in that, where he could be destroyed by drinking the wrong thing. You know, if we put it in practical terms, like here, I've even thought about this when I came here. You know, when we have communion, what do we have for in the cup? Grape juice. Why do we do that? Huh? Tradition. I think it's smart. You know, we may have the freedom as a church to use real wine because Jesus made wine and, you know, I mean, that whole, and I've argued that, you know, I mean, but I think we're smart because there may come somebody in this church and there may be here that has a tender conscience. And if he had a glass of, even that little bit of wine could violate his conscience. Now, is it worth, would that little glass of wine be worth somebody coming in this building and violating his conscience? Or if he was an alcoholic and tipping him over the edge? You would go, of course not. Of course not. And the point of this is, I think when trouble hits in a church, and when we start to talk about this weaker and stronger brother, I think usually this is the guy we need to focus on. If we focused in on the guy that just, you know, had to control everything and had to, you know, had to have all the rules and you had to obey them 100% of the time, and, you know, this is the way it is, and, you know, you people are too free. You know, I think we need to focus on this weaker brother. You know, and just maybe forgive this guy and just say, you know, that's how you see it. And it's okay, you know, before God, let him live his conscience, his strict conscience before God. This is the guy I think we need to be thinking about. And really, I think the argument comes around, you know, so when these two guys work together, this could be really cool. Can you imagine in a church if you had this and this, you know, you would be horrible. So Paul says, don't destroy a brother over your food or drink or Sabbath. And you could think of kind of crazy situations. There one that Diane, I don't know if Diane's ever told you this story, when she was at camp and she was young. I mean, her and her brother were up at Camp Awana, and the people that ran that camp for a long time were pretty much that kind of camp, okay? Pretty strict. And so it was nighttime, and Diane and her brother were sitting on this bench, leaning back, looking up at the stars, talking. And this lady comes running over and says, "Get off of that bench! Boys and girls aren't supposed to sit on the same bench." I don't even think they were sitting close, you know what I mean? It's not like, I don't know if like vibes happen through the bench, I mean, whatever. But she was like mad. And Diane goes, "He's my brother." It didn't matter. Get off the bench. Let's not ever get to that point. You know what I mean? I know we kind of let guys and girls kind of interact. That's how otherwise we'll have no world left. You know what I mean? I mean, it's like that's an okay thing. You like guys, guys like girls, that's okay. You know, and you're sitting on a bench, if it's, you know, your friend, that's okay. That's how you... But she was, and they had to get off the bench. I don't think that lady that had them get off the bench would ever be tempted if she sat on a bench with a guy that wasn't her. You know, I don't, that's not the tender one we're looking at. The tender conscience is the one we need to be careful of. Okay? Fourth point, in verses 16 through 18, it's not about food and drink, the external stuff. It's about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Look at verses, 16 through 18. Therefore, do not let what is good a good thing for you to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of... Burgers are okay. You know, meat... we don't have to go into that. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, I could make you feel real guilty, like, were you all real joyful this week? You know, because I wasn't. I mean, I was heading to Atlanta, and these people were hammering me, and I'm like, I'm dreading this meeting. It was not going to be joyful, and, you know, oh, God is good. And, you know, I wasn't feeling that. I'll tell you, what it does force you to do is pray. Because I knew I couldn't do this on my own. And it really did turn out okay. When I said, I'm going to go in there knowing God went there before me. If they fire me, it's going to be okay. And what Paul says is we end up focusing in on eating and drinking and these externals. You know, how am I going to know you're growing in the Lord? Let's look at the internal stuff. The righteousness. Is he reflecting the character of God? You don't have to walk around all day with this fake joyful smile on your face. There's going to be time, you know. When I talk to Diane's mom, she's down. You know, this isn't something she's going, oh, this is so great. But there is that internal peace. And there's internal righteousness. And there's, believe it or not, there's kind of an internal joy in the Holy Spirit. I don't have to fake it. I don't have to, you know. Although you don't want to walk around and somebody says, how you doing? Oh, you know, everything's so bad. But you also don't have to fake the other side and say, you know, what Paul's saying is, it isn't about the externals. What you eat, what you drink, what you wear, the day you worship. It's about righteousness and peace. And joy in the Holy Spirit. The fifth point I have is in verses 19 through 21. It's not that you surrender your rights, but you subordinate your rights. Look at verse 19. So then, let us pursue the things that make for peace in the building up of one another. Do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. All things are indeed are clean, but they are evil for the man who eats and gives offense. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do, and if you look in the New American Standards, or do anything that by which your brother stumbles. I think we can take that to an extreme. You know, I mean, it doesn't, those words really don't occur in the original text. It's like, don't eat or drink something that's going to cause your brother to stumble, that's going to cause him to sin or feel unclean. Examples was a guy gave, what if a guy was Hindu and gets saved? And he, you know, he has a bunch of Hindu friends, and now he's free to eat meat. Apparently, Hindus don't eat meat, right? And also now he's free to eat meat. What if he, but then he decides to subordinate his right to eat meat so that he can have a ministry among Hindus? That's a good thing, right? You know, we don't have to say, oh, are you a weaker brother? I mean, he's subordinating his rights instead of... Instead of surrendering them, he's not saying, oh, am I good for giving up my right to eat meat? This is such a struggle for me, and I'm surrender. No, he's just subordinating his rights to have a ministry among other people. If you're going to be among, if you're going to go have friends that are alcoholics, you know what? And you're trying to reach them for Christ, don't drink. I mean, it's pretty simple. It's pretty simple. And I think as a pastor, I think there's, and I went through this in California, if I'm going to be a pastor, I better be careful about drinking. What if, because I thought to myself, what happens if I had a glass of wine at night and somebody called and there was a car accident and it was involved a drunk driver and I go there with alcohol in my breath? Would that be a good thing? So this stuff is pretty simple. You know, it's not that I would be better. It's not, it doesn't make me more righteous, more religious, because I gave up this. It makes you smarter. Not smarter, I don't know. Wiser, you know, to think through. And guy, young people, you need to think through these issues. You know, you're not going to... The last thing is, be sensitive to the situation. If you have a doubt about it, don't do it. That was like the story I had. I don't know, I told you the story last week about we were at an office party and I just, you know, felt I should not have a glass of wine in front of this guy. If you have a doubt, don't do it. Okay? And I think a lot of times the weaker might be younger. I mean, I think when you're a parent, do I have the right to have a bottle of wine or a case of beer in my refrigerator? According to this, what Paul says, nothing is unclean in itself. Now, when I have kids, do I want to have them to see that? Listen to that. Man, they're having a lot of fun back there. For everybody. Let's go party. And I think that's what you want to think through, you guys, as you mature. We need to think through those issues. Now, if you have a bottle of wine in your refrigerator and you have kids, don't say, oh, I should get rid of that. I mean, you live your life before God. Not what I'm saying. And I was going to use an example. If I said to you, you know, when I start preaching, I get really nervous. And in order to relieve that tension, I have a beer right before. And it relaxes me. Now, would that be okay? If I said to the young people, well, you guys, you know, it really does help you relax. And it's a good thing. But just so you know. I mean, you all know this. The kids probably know that because I couldn't trick them with the iPod last time I tried a trick.
They don't have caps on
them. Yeah, I know. I was looking, when I saw that, I was going to get a regular like Coke bottle, but I was going to have a pack of cigarettes and light up a cigarette, and then I thought everybody would freak out over that. The issue is, I need to subordinate my rights, you know, because there are people that would have trouble with that do have a drink to relax, and it causes trouble, you know. And I really think we can't worry, not worry, but it's not concerned with these guys, because I'm not going to make those guys sin. I'm not going to make them stumble over what I eat or drink. It's this one. It's maybe my young son or somebody in the church or somebody that just got saved and is struggling with giving up. He feels like God wants him to give up cigarettes and he's struggling. And I said, oh, man, you know, it relaxes you. Is a cigarette worth a brother stumbling? And I didn't come, you know, some of this stuff was not easy for me. But I'll tell you, if you just learn to have your conscience and live your life before God. Ask Him. Ask Him if it's okay for you to have a beer before supper. You know what I mean? You don't worry about me. Don't worry about what I think. Don't worry about my conscience before God. It's yours before God, not mine. I got to be done. Let's pray together and we'll go. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for when you sat down with those disciples and you said, in this world you're going to have trouble. But understand that you have overcome the world. Father, we face weeks, the week ahead, that we may be facing difficulties. Father, I just pray that you would make us mindful of your presence with us every moment of every day. That when we have decisions to make, we think about what you want us to do. And we ask for wisdom from you, Father. And Father, most of all, we thank you that your Son subordinated all of his rights, gave up heaven to come down, to live a life, to be hung on a cross because he loved us. Father, I just pray that you would help us to learn to love you more every single day of our lives and learn to trust you more every day. It's in your Son's name I pray. Amen.